Well, Mr. Eisenberg, the hockey season is pretty much over for Western New York hockey fans, don't you think?
I'd say so. The Sabres didn't make the playoffs, and the Amerks kind of went lifelessly out of them. It takes care of most of the hockey in Western New York.
It's about it. I guess a 3-0 series does say lifeless. But apparently, a couple of the prospects showed pretty well in the eyes of the front office brass, and they're excited for the future.
At least they got to take a positive out of it. Sometimes you go out, they knew they were going to be shorthanded anyway, with most of Buffalo's prospects staying up in Buffalo. But the fact that they went out 3-0, but they did get to take something out of it. A couple of guys, like you said, at least you've got a future somewhere. The news today, Rolston signs on to continue. He does have experience with those lot of guys. We will get into that a little bit later. We'll start out today with some AHL playoff previews, as much as we can anyway. The Hershey Providence series is ongoing.
The only series that is continued to full, well, actually not the only series, but the series that continued the longest, I guess we'll say, because of building occupancy issues. So, we'll recap the first round real quick here on Throughway Puck, episode 5. Look at that, we've reached a full hand, Otto. I think we're.
We are catching up to the Green Men podcast. They haven't put out one in quite a while, and
Well, they're busy
they are
watching,
much more famous than we are.
and they're busy actually watching playoff hockey, but
Details.
in person. So yeah, we're on episode 5 here, Throughway Puck. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Check us out also at barrelofsports.com for a blog update. We'll probably get a post up there pretty soon about the totals for our AHL predictions. So,
And we will also get Jay's picks for the games that we make the picks on today. We'll get his up there as well, as he was coaching today and not able to join us.
indeed, and is that a Clicky Pen I hear?
Probably. I will set it down.
Okay, just wanted to, mention that.
We'll make
Anyhow,
this fair. Yes.
so we've got the AHL. We'll go Eastern Conference playoffs. As we said, the quarterfinal matchup between the Providence Bruins and the Hershey Bears is tied at four game or two games apiece, going to Game 5 tomorrow night in Providence. Hershey took the first two games on the road, and Providence has taken the second two games on the road. Any thoughts?
Not too much. You guys kind of shunned me when I took Providence in that series, but I'm surprised that all four games have been road wins, if anything out of it. Obviously, haven't gotten to watch any of it, but anytime you have a hockey series where the home team doesn't win at least one, you're surprised at least a bit.
Well, it might be a case of the fact that Hershey was playing for the chance to get into the playoffs for the last week and a half of the regular season, was playing that type of playoff hockey. Providence kind of coasted in, and now after the first two games, they kind of woke up and got back into the swing of things.
Definitely. You see that when a team does, the Providence did dominate their division there, and although they won a lot of games at the end of the year, still not the same as winning competitive games.
Correct. So, just to recap our preview or predictions on that, Jay and I took Hershey in 4, and you took Providence in 4. So all three of us will be wrong as far as the number of games. We'll wait for tomorrow night to predict who gets the correct winner. Moving on to the Springfield Falcons, 2 seed taking on the Manchester Monarchs. We all had Springfield taking the series. Jay had it in 5. You and I both nailed it perfectly with 4 games.
Very nice.
Moving on. Syracuse with the sweep over the Portland Pirates. That series was closer than a sweep would say. The first two games were really tight. Not really sure about game three, but Syracuse takes it in a sweep. Jay and I picked that one perfectly. Otto, you also went with Syracuse, but you had them in four. Moving on to the 4-5 matchup, where Jay and I actually picked against his Binghamton Senators. We both took Wilkes-Barre. He took them in four. I took them in five. Otto, you took Binghamton in five, and yet they were swept.
Yeah, not pretty.
But moving on to the Western Conference, Texas. Texas Stars were the first seed overall. They had the Milwaukee Admirals. All three of us took Texas. Otto, you picked them in four, and were the only one that picked correctly in four. Moving on to a series that I got a chance to watch pretty closely. That was the Rochester and Toronto series. You and Jay took them and took Toronto in four. I was a homer and took Rochester in five. Did not work out very well for me. Apparently the games, you know, like we said, they were closer than the scores represented. As I said, the Amherst really played the type of game and did the things they needed to do to win, but they didn't do it for complete games. And a couple people that I talked to that were at all three of the games basically said that Rochester had to have the Stars align for them to score, whereas scoring came easily to the Marlies. Like, the puck just ended up in the right place at the right time. And that's not a way you're going to win the series for the Amherst.
No. And we knew going in that they were going to need great goaltending. And by the sounds of it, even if they had gotten perfect goaltending, they weren't going to score enough goals to win it. So
yeah, absolutely. Didn't come up with that big save. Interesting that in actual game two, Matt Hackett got the start over David Leggio. So that's something that could be playing out for the future, depending on what Ryan Miller does here. Grand Rapids and Houston. All three of us actually picked Houston. We went 0-for on this series, as Grand Rapids took the series in five games and ends up moving on.
And Houston was just depleted by the end of that, as the Wild continued to call up people. They didn't have Kemper, and obviously they lost Hackett to the trade in Buffalo. So they were kind of strung out to dry as far as goaltending goes, and that showed in the 7-0 Game 5 win for Grand Rapids.
Yep, it definitely can be a negative effect when your parent club is also in the playoffs. Charlotte and Oklahoma City. Otto, this is what really got you ahead of Jay and I. You picked Oklahoma City while the two of us picked Charlotte, and you picked Oklahoma in four games. It took five, but they did come away with the series win, giving you, by our ranking totals, giving you 9 points. I end up with 8 points, and Jay ends up with 7 points. Again, you get 3 points if you pick the series winner and the number of games correctly. You get 1 point for picking just the series winner, and 0 points for incorrect pick. And that's without Hershey-Providence series being finished. So if Hershey wins, then you and I will be tied. If Providence wins, you will pull away going into the second round.
I like my chances, given the amount of AHL hockey that I did not watch this year.
That's a very, very good point. The fact that you were watched the least AHL games of the three of us, and end up with the highest points.
Yeah, sometimes you get lucky. I'll take it, though.
So let's move on to round number two. We're going to take Jay's predictions off air or offline, I guess. He is busy with other things in life, so we're going to do the Western Conference first. We got the Western Conference semifinal matchup. The Texas Stars are going to start at home against Oklahoma. And this is a 2-3-2 matchup because of the distance. So we're going to go 2 in Texas, 3 in Oklahoma City, and two more in Texas if needed. That series starting on Thursday. Otto, who you taking?
I have to say that I love the way this 2-3-2 series sets up for the home team. It gives them a good chance to get rolling early. You get your two games at home, and you hope to take those two, and then you go away for three. You don't like to be on the road for that long, but at least if you can salvage it, you come back for your last two and your chances to close out the series at home. That being said, Texas looked good to end the season. They looked good all season, for that matter, based on their record. They rolled over Milwaukee 3-1 in the first round. I will take Texas in five in this one.
Texas in five. I also am going to take Texas. I think they're just a really strong team. And I'm going to take Texas in six. I think they're going to have to get back on home ice to get it done. And like we said, we'll
leave, I wouldn't disagree with that pick at all.
We'll leave Jay for another time. Other series. You know, it's kind of interesting how the AHL at least lucked out as far as the travel goes with this one. You know, Toronto to Oklahoma City or Grand Rapids to Texas or whatever, those would have been a lot longer distances for the teams to travel, whereas Toronto to Grand Rapids is not that far. That's a bus ride. And Texas to Oklahoma City is also a bus ride. So I think the teams lucked out, and I think this is the type of matchup they actually wanted.
Definitely. I would agree with that.
That being said, Toronto, the two seed, is going to open up at home on Friday and Saturday. It's also a 2-3-2 series, goes to Grand Rapids for the next three, and then the final two in Toronto. Otto, who you got?
I'm going to take Toronto in this one as well. They kind of rolled over Rochester there. Grand Rapids beat, like we said, a depleted Houston team. A series win is a series win. You never discount that. I think Toronto is just on a roll now. They think they'll just carry that momentum. They've had a decent amount of time off, but not an overly large amount. So I'll take Toronto in this one. I will take them in six.
Toronto in six for Otto. I'm also going to take Toronto. I think that I've watched Toronto a lot. I think they're very strong. So I'm going to take them in five. I'm going to actually take them the series in Grand Rapids. All right, moving on. Now this one we're going to have to do hypothetically a little bit because we don't know the matchups quite yet. So this is it in the instance that Providence wins tonight or tomorrow night. Providence will play Wilkes-Barre, and then Springfield will play Syracuse. So, taking that into consideration, who do you got in Providence?
I will take Wilkes-Barre in this one.
Upset.
In the Providence Wilkes-Barre game. Providence, you guys had done quite a bit of convincing on me here that they weren't in the strongest division. That's kind of showing here in their current matchup with Hershey. So I will go with Wilkes-Barre in this one, and I will take them in six.
I think Providence is going to get rolling. I do think they're going to win tonight. If they do win tonight, or tomorrow night, I should say, if they do win, then I think they're just going to keep rolling. I'm going to take Providence in six. Okay. The other hypothetical matchup we have is Springfield at the two seed taking on the Syracuse Crunch, who, remember, are pretty much the defending Calder Cup champions from last season.
I like Syracuse in this one, a bit of an upset. I will take them. Do we know how these matchups are going to set up? Is there going to be 2-3-2?
Yes, they're also going to be 2-3-2. So go Springfield at Springfield for two on Friday, Saturday, and then Wednesday, Friday, Saturday in Syracuse. Then finishing up in Springfield on the road.
All right, I will take Syracuse in five on this one.
Syracuse in five. I also am going to take Syracuse. I think they are a proven veteran team. They've got a lot of guys that just know how to get it done. They've got their defense core from last year's intact. And in the playoffs, I think that's a real big thing. I'm going to take Syracuse in six, and it pains me to say that, believe me.
I am so sure of it.
The other hype...
I'm sure...
go ahead.
The Toronto matchup there, I'm not a big fan of picking Toronto in it, but I just think they're going, so...
Yeah. Okay, the other hypothetical way we can do this is if Hershey wins tomorrow night. So, if Hershey wins tomorrow night, they will face the Springfield Falcons, and this is also a 2-3-2 matchup. Looks like all of them are going to be 2-3-2 matchups. And if that's the case, Springfield opens up at home against Hershey on Friday and Saturday. Who you got in that hypothetical matchup?
I think that Providence is going to take it tomorrow night, but I think even if Hershey does, I think they're on a real roller coaster ride there, and I'm just not sure that they can bounce back right away. I think Springfield wins a couple early and just takes away the chance that Hershey had at it. Springfield in five.
Springfield in five. I'm going to take Hershey in seven. I think they get it done in game seven on the road. Okay, final hypothetical matchup for the AHL. In that case, Syracuse would be the higher seed. They'd be a 3 seed taking on Wilkes-Barre-Scranton, the 5 seed, also a 2-3-2 matchup.
I think, once again, Syracuse would take this one. I think they'd get it done on the road down in Wilkes-Barre. I think they would do this in five as well.
Syracuse in five. I will take Syracuse at home in four. Those are some tough games to play against each other. I just think, or it's not four, excuse me. What did I say four? How about six is what I wanted to say.
All right.
I was looking at the wrong thing there, I guess. Syracuse
wrong
in
matchup.
Six. Yeah, wrong matchup. Syracuse in six for me, Syracuse in five for Otto. And check the blog, barrelsports.com. We will put up the totals, put up our picks, put up Jay's picks when we get them, and the results from the first round. Okay? How about we get into a little NHL stuff? Have you watched any of the Montreal-Ottawa series, the All-Canadian series?
I have seen a lot of highlights on it. I know it's been real heavy on the NHL Network. I haven't watched most of it live, but it's just been an emotional train wreck, to put it nicely. These teams are just going right to the grindstone, going after each other. They don't care about anything but winning this game and trying to get back at the other team while they're at it.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like it's been it seems like Montreal is the young team and the young, just misguided bunch that can't control their emotions, and that Ottawa's the real veteran presence, which really isn't the case.
No. Ottawa leads that series 2-1. You, Jay, and I had a discussion on this last week. The Greiba hit that none of us, or seemingly anybody else in the NHL media, seemed to think was an illegal hit. We saw what might have been an elbow, but it was nothing drastic. And then the NHL comes out and suspends them for 2 games, fully in belief that they were just protecting themselves on that one. It's hard to see a guy go to the ice, that much blood and everything else, and not give him, you know, something just to make it look like you're not promoting the violence.
Yeah, it really, I think it is just a cover for the NHL. I think that if you look... you know, I've watched it a bunch of times, and I just think that it was a good, clean hit. And 5-10 years ago, he's being applauded as the next Scott Stevens, as opposed to this villain. I think that he did hit him in the shoulder. You have to take into consideration, excuse me, the height difference between the two players, the fact that Eller's head was down, and all the blood was caused by his head hitting the ice, not by Greiba hitting his head.
Not by the hit, no. And it definitely wasn't to the head. Yeah. There was just so much around it, so many situations leading in. And like you've heard, the penalty that was called was 5 minutes for interference.
Yeah.
The puck's on his stick. It's a definition of what you see as an open ice hit.
Yeah, it was. And I think the penalty on the ice was called because they saw the result and they had to call something. Yeah. And as an official, they're probably figuring, if he sticks around, we're going to have a bigger problem than we want. And the game getting out of hand, which it did the next night, or two nights ago.
Yeah.
Two nights after. So I think it was a miscue by the NHL all around. I think they botched it. But like you said, they're trying to protect themselves. You know, but at the same time, in my opinion, that hit was clean. But yet something like Andrew Ferentz's elbow only gets one game when it was a very blatant elbow to the face. He only gets one game. I don't understand that. I think that an elbow.
Justin Advocator was.
Yep.
Advocator hit in the Detroit series. There was the same thing. He left his feet and he got up high on the guy. Principal point of contact, whatever their ruling is, he only got, I believe he got two, you know, offhand.
Yeah, two. Yeah, he got two. And I was okay with that one. It's a first time thing for him, you know.
Yeah.
But
I feel if you're going to give a good hit two, then how are you not going to give a guy that leaves his feet two?
And they also let Rene Bork go with nothing, with his elbow to the face of, I believe it was two. Peugeot, I want to say.
And what a story he is.
Yeah, coming out of nowhere.
Hat trick in the game there on Sunday.
Did you see him pick his tooth off the ice after the goal?
That series has been incredible. For tooth loss, that is.
Yeah.
My favorite, I was telling my mom this weekend, Carey Price got kicked in the face and skates over to the bench, spits his tooth in his hand, hands it to the trainer, and skates back to his crease, ready for the face-off. If you're in the NBA, the guys are flopping around on the ground, acting like they got shot for 10 minutes before they even think about getting back up. You're not going to have any action again for at least 20 minutes.
Yeah, I said the same thing to my wife the other night when we were watching the game. They showed the replay, him picking up his tooth off the ice. And I go, he ain't going to miss a shift. And next thing you know, he goes out, and then he buries the hat trick goal.
Yeah.
It was pretty sweet. Good story to see. Really exciting series. I think if Montreal tries to play that physical punk style, I think they're going to run out of horses because they can't match up that way. And they're already short with Gianta and Pacioretty being out.
And a lot of just injuries overall there. The guys just... not necessarily anything they could have predicted, and they don't have anything in the pipeline to bring up to just kind of plug for those kind of guys.
But, yeah.
So it should be a good one going forward. I don't see it slowing down at all. Only thing is if Ottawa can find a way to go up 3-1 here tonight, then it might be over at that point. But
which you never know. Which would be great for my prediction of Ottawa in 5.
Yes.
You're hoping for a drawn-out Ottawa in 7. Hi, Toby.
That was Ziggy. Oh. I'm confused. we'll jump up the run here. Pittsburgh and the Islanders. Pittsburgh leads this series 2-1. Sidney Crosby has made his return to the NHL lineup in outstanding fashion at that. Picked up 2 goals in his debut. My question here is, what is going on with Fleury? He plays decent throughout the year, and then they get into the playoffs, and all of a sudden, every game that the Penguins play is a shootout.
Well, I think he's not having his best season, But I think he's also got that Grant Fuhr type quality where if my team's got a 6-5 lead, I'm going to be able to hold it. You know, but if it's a 6-0 lead, I might let in 4 goals.
Yeah. And just my only concern is the fact that they lost in 7 to Philly last year. Now, the Islanders don't have the potent offense that Philly does, so I still think that Pittsburgh gets away out of this series clean, especially now that Crosby's back. But it's a concerning note going forward. If they get in there to a series against Washington, the Rangers haven't started scoring yet, but if they beat Washington, they're a team with potential. You know Boston can score. Ottawa's got some kids that are scoring now. Pittsburgh doesn't want to be in a situation where they have to score all these goals, although undoubtedly they have the potential to do so.
Yeah, they haven't really played a complete game. They can light up the scoreboard, but you know, they're kind of missing that Hal Gill-type defenseman this year that they had when they won the Cup. By the way, that game, I just saw the highlight, is tied 1-1 after one period. And just wait till you see the James Neal goal. That is pretty.
So. And that's Montreal-Ottawa?
No, that's Pitt.
No, James Neal
is, Chris. Yeah, that's 1-1. Ottawa-Montreal's tied 0-0, or nil-nil, as our friends across the pond say.
Yes. Other games today while we're on it, Chicago and Minnesota, they play game 4 tonight, 9:30, and Vancouver at San Jose, I believe, is at 10:30. We can move on down now to the Washington and the Rangers series. Washington leads this one 2-1. Which is surprising to some, but the Rangers haven't cashed in on their opportunities. Henrik Lundqvist hasn't been everything that the Rangers are used to having as their backstop, I guess you could say. And Braden Holtby has done more than the Capitals could have asked of him. Any thoughts for you on this one?
I think that this is the type of series where everything's lined up for the Capitals. And I feel that the Rangers have missed opportunities, and if they lose, it's going to be about them not scoring on the power play and giving up power play goals.
Yep.
Whereas if the Capitals lose, it's going to be because the Rangers are just a better team.
Yeah, and the Rangers are still okay in this one. They've got another home game tomorrow, I would guess. If they can get another one at home and then go back to Washington tied up, I think they'll be okay. If they lose their next one, though, I think they're in trouble. They did get Staal back for game 3, which was their first win. That's a nice addition for their lineup, no matter what he's playing for minutes.
Absolutely. It gives them another option to possibly shut down Ovechkin, which will be huge.
And Ovechkin has been okay in this series. Usually we get to the playoffs and he disappears. Still playing all right so far this year.
I actually saw a joke online today. I don't know if you saw it. Was Sidney Crosby goes to the bar and asks for an Ovechkin. Bartender says, "What's that?" And he says, "A white Russian with no cup and no ice." White Russian with no cup. No ice.
Ouch.
Yeah.
The 4-5 matchup in the East, I actually don't know that I've watched any of this series yet. Boston leads the series 2-1. They've got game 4 in Toronto tomorrow or Thursday, I believe. I'm not sure which one.
I have that somewhere here. That one is on Wednesday and Friday. Wednesday in Toronto, Boston on Friday. Yeah, I watched some of this game, game 2 and then game 3. And I thought game 2, Toronto was clearly the better team. Boston was just not playing Boston hockey. Game 3, Boston came back, and they just kind of had that Boston swagger that we saw 2 years ago. Where they got the bounces, they were pushing the issue, and Toronto just kind of looked like the young team that they are.
And that's the Boston team that the East has to watch out for. If they can find that consistently, they are very dangerous.
Absolutely. Lucic and Krejci finally had a big night. Horton had a big night. That whole line.
All the names you haven't heard for most of the year.
Absolutely. They haven't been playing like the line they were when they won the Cup. And if they do, look out.
So that wraps up a nice little summary of the East there. We'll head off to the West. Chicago, Minnesota. Chicago leads the series 2-1. Minnesota lost Backstrom before the series even officially started. However, Josh Harding has stepped in and done more than the Wild could have even asked for in this. The Wild get the overtime win in Game 3 on Sunday, which I believe I called to a T on that one.
Oh, don't toot your own horn here. I mean, hey, I was going to give you your props. I even did off air. I said, well done on picking that exact night for the win.
In that one, Pominville has yet to play. He is likely to return tonight, although they're saying probably fourth line play just to get him back on the ice and a little bit of rust out of the system.
Yeah, but you might see him on a power play, and it just opens up another option for the
kind of play where they need. I don't think they have scored a power play goal yet in the series, and their power play was weak down the stretch. So he could be a crucial player, even if he does play limited minutes in the series here, or in the first couple games back.
Yeah.
They just got to take advantage of the home game tonight. I only picked them to win one game, but definitely rooting for them to even the series up to take it back to Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, if they can take this game tonight, you know, who knows what the future holds. They could get a line hot, you know. They're still waiting for Parise to finally join the series. And
he got his goal in their win, or his first goal in their win the other night.
Yeah.
So it could be a start.
And you know, might be that they've caught Chicago at a time where they haven't been playing their best hockey, so they could still sneak by.
Down one more here. Number 2 Anaheim, number 7 Detroit. It's a 2-2 series. They've split the home games in this one. Anaheim winning game 1, Detroit game 2, Anaheim 3, Detroit 4. Detroit's two wins coming in overtime, one of them after losing a 4-1 lead. So to still get 2 points out of that, well, not 2 points now that we're into the playoffs, but to get the win after losing that lead is definitely showing some character there out of Detroit. I'm not sure that anyone's completely surprised that Detroit's making a series, but I know a lot of people did expect Anaheim to kind of get a couple more wins and get out ahead in this.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Anaheim still. I just they haven't put a great couple games together, but there's still so much firepower, and I think it's another situation of Detroit has to play perfect hockey to get a W.
Yeah.
And that's tough to do 4 games in a row, or 4 out of 7 games. So
Game 5 in Anaheim, again, and this one is going to be a big one. They don't want to go down a game going back to Detroit. So
absolutely. I see this series going 7, but if Detroit can win in Anaheim, I think Detroit could take it in 6. But
yep. Detroit, just hockey city, that's a hard place to play in. So wouldn't want to go in there in an elimination game.
Absolutely. Real home ice advantage there.
The 3 seed versus 6 seed, Vancouver trailing San Jose 3-0. San Jose has just been putting solid team effort after solid team effort together to take out Vancouver. Vancouver's not getting great goaltending, but they're also not getting anybody to score any goals to help out said goaltenders.
So when they get beat, do you think Vancouver's GM and coach get fired?
I'm not sure. I was listening to a podcast today that was discussing the same thing, and they said, you know, don't you think the GM gets a chance to fire at least one coach? Because he hasn't been there since before Vigneault. So,
but the GM's the guy that put this all together. The GM's the guy that screwed around and messed up the goalie situation. The GM's the guy that hasn't brought in good, solid two-way talent, that traded away Cody Hotson for Zach Cassian.
Just to keep a coach.
To keep the coach, and also, I don't even really know why, because it looks pretty stupid right now.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens with it. I think if they get swept, I think, yes, there's major changes. I think if Vancouver can somehow get a win in San Jose tonight, I don't think it happens, but I think if they can and then get one more at home, I think it's a whole different situation than if they get swept. I think if they get swept, I think panic takes over that whole city and there's going to be some major changes.
Oh, we've never seen the city of Vancouver panic and get crazy.
Maybe once.
That never happens. Oops.
Especially when it comes to their hockey.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah, I just think that the surprising thing is San Jose is playing a complete team game. And the second thing is how poorly Vancouver has played, and that basically the Sedins have not shown up for this series yet.
Yep. And my pick of getting help from Derek Roy, which you just about beat me for, clearly proving to be useless. So, not quite the fit that they thought he might be there.
No, he's too self-centered.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens. Then they did sign him on for an extension, so.
Oh, did they? I didn't see that.
I believe so. I would have to double-check it, but I think they did. The 4-5 series. One that, for a little bit, looked like it could go Los Angeles' way quick. One that looked like St. Louis was going to start to walk with it. And now that we're sitting here after four games, they're tied at 2 apiece. St. Louis went up 2-0 on a couple of errors and just mental lapses by the Kings. And then the Kings have taken the last two. This is one. The home team has won all four games in this matchup.
Yeah, this is one of the series that I said I wanted to watch the most. Unfortunately, it's out west, and my sleep schedule doesn't work with that too well. But yeah, it's just this series is every time the puck gets deep, they finish their check. They finish their check. They solid defensive play. You know, some people don't like it because of the way the low scoring, but I just think this is playoff hockey at its best. They are all over each other, and you're seeing a lot of good play at both ends of the ice.
Yeah, and it'll be real interesting to see where this one goes. I think either team that comes out of this is going to have a nice run waiting for them in the playoffs, regardless of who they end up matching up with next.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, like I said before, you know, I picked LA in 7, but I wouldn't be surprised if St. Louis took them, because St. Louis has something to prove after last year getting swept by LA, and also had a year of growth underneath their belt.
Yeah, and I think this, right now I think LA is at the advantage. They did have the bad turnover by Quick there that led to St. Louis taking game one. I heard it was another error that gave them game two. I don't think I saw highlights of that one. So this series just as easily could be a 3-1 series for Los Angeles. I think now that they've got the two wins, I think they might go into St. Louis and get another to kind of take a little bit more control, although they're showing that control doesn't really mean much in this one so far.
Yeah, I saw a couple tweets from Kopitar and from Brown that they got the gorilla off their back. That, you know, must be they felt they hadn't been playing up to snuff, get the first win out of the way. And so I think you're right. You might see them go on a run here.
Yeah, so that wraps up where the NHL series are currently at. I think our next podcast will probably be after these conclude.
Yeah.
That'll put us at the end of next week, or mid to end of next week.
So. Yep. I did check on Derek Roy's contract status. He is still a UFA after this season. So
for some reason, I thought I heard 3-year deal somewhere. I don't know where I heard that or why.
That might be what he's looking for. Which
it could be
3-year deal, $5 million a year. Somebody
will give it to him.
We'll see if he's worth it. So, yeah, we'll continue the NHL stuff next episode here.
We'll be able to do up some points for that one as well.
Yep. From playoff teams to non-playoff team, the Buffalo Sabres. The Buffalo Sabres hired a coach today. And surprise, surprise, it is a safe choice. In-house pick by Darcy Regier. Of course, he would take the easy way out. He wouldn't step out of the shadows just a little bit, put his finger in the water. Nope, too hot. I'm going to take the safe pick and Ron Ralston. Now, with that being said, I am not completely against this pick, this choice of coach. I think Ron Ralston is the right coach, but I don't think he's the coach that the fan base is looking for.
No, he's not the face change that the Sabres keep talking about. They keep saying, you know, we're rebuilding. Pulling a guy from the AHL, it's good. Listen, the guy came in and he went 15-11-5. That's 35 points. It's a lot more than Lindy had. He does have experience with the guys, the younger kids, the kids that are in the AHL that he was having success with there. So he's a solid pick. He's not the change that the management had been implying was coming, though. Well, so that's where you're going to lose a lot of the fans on it.
The change that should have come was the firing of the GM.
Yep.
And that's,
which we've been talking about for months.
And that's going to be the hill I die on, I guess.
I think we're at least 2 to 3 years out on that one now.
Yep. But I think Ralston's the right guy for the job. I really do. I think, like you said, he's got experience with a lot of the guys in the system already. He's proven that he is a teacher. You know, you look at the guys that have come up after a year under his watch as it is. I think you give this guy a full training camp. I think you give this guy all the practice time that a regular NHL season brings, and I think you will see something similar to the turnaround that Ottawa had last season, where they were a young bunch that nobody knew about, but this guy got them to play for him. He's a good – the guys like him in the room. Steve Ott spoken really highly of him on the radio publicly. Yeah, I like the move. I just wish the general manager wasn't still there.
Right. I would agree with that. We'll see where it goes as far as wins and losses. But the standard by management isn't going to be set that high because they've said we're rebuilding. I don't believe by any means that the fans have the same belief, though.
We need to suffer, Otto. Suffer.
I know.
Suffer. They announced it today that they're going to bring him in, and you know there was some talk that they were going to look into somebody like Patrick Waugh, but he's not coming into town.
He's likely to be involved in Colorado there, I think.
Yeah.
Because they're looking to do a whole revamp of their front office coaching whatnot there, so I think he's... He's in the mix there, Joseph Sacco. They've also talked about.
Yeah, that's been some interesting stuff out there. As far as Ralston goes, they haven't announced who his assistants are going to be, and they also haven't made any announcement on Chad Cassidy, who bumped up to the AHL affiliate, Rochester's head coach. and ended the season in that position. So my guess is Cassidy sticks around. If he doesn't come up to be an assistant in the NHL, he probably ends up as the coach in Rochester. The double IHF, any update there?
U.S. is 2-1 after a loss to Russia today. They beat Austria and Latvia. They have 4 regular round-robin games, I guess you could call them, left. They actually drew a pretty decent schedule. Like I said, they lost to Russia today. Tomorrow they play Finland. Saturday they play France. Sunday, Germany. And Tuesday, Slovakia. So they've got a chance to get out of the first round with a decent record. The top 2 in each side advance, I do believe. They didn't get matched up with Canada and the Swiss, so they lucked out there, for sure.
Yeah, until they get to the elimination rounds. And
then and they started to get into a bit of a shootout today with Russia, and they don't have the firepower, and they don't have the goaltending to allow for it. Bishop's played fine for, playing Latvia and whatnot. But once you get into the better teams, the Czech and they saw with the Russians today, as they put up 5 goals against them, and they don't have the offense to that. Even their win on Saturday, a lot of their goals are scored on the power play and by defensemen. And when you're playing better teams, you don't see that nearly as much. So we'll see where Team USA can go. As always, rooting for them. But again, it's an international tournament without the best U.S. players. So you only get so much of a judge of where a team is out of that. The Olympics next year will be the real treat to watch, as far as watching a lot of stars, at least we hope, goes.
Right, and we have those European countries take this tournament 10 times more important than the American and Canadian teams do. So that's usually why you see those European countries take the World Championships.
With the exception of the World Junior Championships.
Yeah, yeah.
And there, every year, it seems to be U.S., Canada, and then occasionally the... and not necessarily in that order, but then the European teams in that one, because that's the one that the countries really get into.
Yep. So. Yeah, well, most of those kids aren't playing professionally yet, so it gives every country a chance to showcase their young talent. Thoughts on
we have the Norris and the Calder Trophy candidates.
Yep, that's where I was going.
Finalist, we'll call it. For Norris, it's Subban, Letang, and Suter. Naturally, I'll be rooting for Suter, but given the style of game he plays, I don't think he gets it. I think one of the offensive guys, Subban or Letang, take it.
Well, I think Letang had a better year last year, and I don't think he'll get it. Subban, in my opinion, is the best offensive defenseman in the game. But I think you're right. I think Suter should win it, but I think Subban will win it. And by the way, Subban just scored a couple minutes ago for Montreal. Absolute snipe shot coming in from the blue line. But I think he'll win it, but I think Suter should win it.
And he logged over 40 minutes of ice time the other night against Ottawa, or against Chicago, and that's just incredible. His defensive partner, Jonas Brodin, has just played right alongside him. He's a rookie who didn't get nominated for the Calder Trophy.
Nice segue.
The Calder Trophy was Gallagher, Huberdeau, and Saad. The two most notable to me that didn't get nominated on that one were Brodin, as I was saying, and Yakupov out of Edmonton there. He led all rookies in scoring, but as I've heard lately, he did not score anything when the goals actually mattered. They were all early and late. So
yeah, I think
Brodin was the big snub to me, though. He
I think Huberto wins this one, but I think that Gallagher deserves it, because to me, Gallagher is the better player, and you are no longer connected. But Gallagher is a better player. He's had a better regular season for the Montreal Canadiens as opposed to Huberto, who, yes, he had a good season, but did not do what Gallagher did for his team.
I'm back.
You are back. I just said that Gallagher should walk on water and that Brodin was awful. But.
Well, thanks.
You don't know that. No, I'm just kidding. But I did say that I think Gallagher should win it because he was the most effective player. But I do not think he will. I think that Huberto will get the Calder, but Gallagher should be the one to win it because he was the most effective rookie in the season, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. And not that it's based on playoffs, but he's looked pretty good in the playoffs here, too.
Absolutely. So yeah.
That's my complaint. You're going to die on the hill with the Sabres and the GM for this year. I'll be on the hill with Brodin, and at least Suter got the finalist nod for Norris. But once again, I don't think he gets that because he doesn't play the right style of game. So.
And he plays on the west, in the middle of the country.
Right.
He doesn't play in a big enough city, so.
I did hear something today. They were arguing Marek Wyshynski, I think it was. They were talking about the East Coast bias, and then they got talking about how it's not the bias, but it's just how they have higher scoring players in some of these teams on the coast. Now, isn't that the same argument as the East Coast bias? No, it's you look at the East Coast teams, they're all the high-flying, high-scoring teams, and you look at the Western Conference teams, and, well, with the exception of Chicago, they're just going to grind it out with you. And Chicago's shown that this series, that they're grinding it out with the Wild. So I think it's the same argument as by not making that argument, you're making the same argument.
Yeah, I see your point. I think that your point about the types of games they play is the East Coast teams had to deal with Pittsburgh. They had to be able to either handle them defensively or score with them. So I think you saw that. And yeah. Then because they're the top team, or Boston scores in bunches. And I think out West teams had to deal with the Canucks, and they found that the way to beat the Canucks was beat them up physically. So teams went and found those big guys, and you're starting to see that shift a little bit back towards the Eastern Conference with teams loading up on tough guys like Prust and Ott and Scott came to Buffalo, even though that didn't work too well.
Yeah.
But you know, you get my point.
Yeah. And we'll see where it goes. And you're always going to have the argument, that it's the East Coast bias just because they are in the big market, so in the East. So,
yeah. Well, sir, nice. I think that does it for me from Buffalo.
And that's all from me today. A little bit shorter episode, but got everything that we needed to cover in.
Absolutely.
We'll get Jay's picks in.
Yeah. Shout out to the city of Utica, your fine hometown. I spent 5 days out there, enjoyed every bit of it, as I was umpiring some college softball, had a great time, got to have some chicken riggies, got to have some Utica Club, or Utica Beer, whatever it was. And,
Utica Club it was.
Yeah, Utica Club. And, got to enjoy my time out there, got to catch up with you and Brian. Yep. So, two
and
thumbs up.
The Utica Club, yes. How about Utica College? Softball team, I believe, ended up with a number 2 seed in the national tournament.
Oh, I did see that they were ranked second in the region. So, they're a good squad. A lot of good hitters on there, if we're going to talk softball for a second, I guess.
Just a moment. I figured since you were giving shout-outs, we might as well mention.
Yeah, they played well. They got two young freshman pitchers that I think will do well for them for the next three, four years here, and they could be exciting times out there for softball.
And if we want to be on the mention of Utica and baseball and such over things that we don't usually talk about, I have to find it in my former Cicero North Syracuse pitcher and MV pitcher, now Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher, Patrick Corbin is 4-0 on the season for MLB.
Wow, could you connect more dots on the way there?
Hey, why not? Gotta represent Central New York.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was just funny how you got there in a roundabout way.
Yes, but that gets there, so that hits our couple of non-hockey-related topics for today.
Yeah.
I think that'll about wrap it up. We will reconvene next week once the first round of the NHL playoffs are over. We will summarize who did what, who surprised us with what, and we will kick off the second round picks. Check back later tonight. We will have our podcast up with our points tomorrow. Well, tomorrow the points will go up once the game's over. And you'll be able to see how we're doing there.
Absolutely. And, go Hershey.
Gotta pick Providence. Gotta keep my lead.
All right. Check us out on iTunes, Throughway Puck, barrelofsports.com.
All right. Have a good night.